And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live at our normal time, 7 o'clock Eastern on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget, you can take the show with you 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. Search for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. And of course, if you are so inclined to do so, appreciate a review or rating of the show wherever you listen. A good Tuesday morning to you. A big night last night for UNCW men's basketball as we approach the infamous March Madness tournament. It was the UNCW men's team who won in the semifinal game against their arch nemesis, the College of Charleston, in a one-point victory that sends them to the CAA final tonight. They will be playing at number 12th-ranked Delaware, who has upset everybody in the CAA tournament thus far. They'll play Delaware tonight coming up at 7 o'clock. I believe that game will be on the CBS Sports Network. So you can root on the Seahawks tonight. If they do win, it will be their first bid into the NCAA March Madness tournament since 2017 under the leadership of Coach Tico Siddle, who has done a phenomenal job coaching these guys over the last couple of years. It will be the UNCW Seahawks and the Delaware Blue Hens tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll be rooting for the UNCW team, and hopefully they can make their way into the infamous March Madness tournament. So good luck to them tonight. Great game last night, literally down to just the final seconds. Hopefully they're able to get a bigger lead against Delaware, who is real hot right now, the 12th seed in the CAA, making their way all the way to the championship game. So good luck to the men's basketball team. We'll be rooting them on a little bit later on tonight. Well, yesterday there was a very, very good exclusive interview that took place on the Fox Business Network with Larry Kudlow, who, if you are not a follower or a reader or a watcher of Larry Kudlow, you're really missing out. His insights are incredible. And he sat down with Elon Musk, the man of the day, the man of the last couple of months, really, as you look at what this administration has done over just the last 50 days. It's hard to believe, but 50 days since the Trump administration has taken control in Washington, D.C. And the big focus, one of the major focuses, has been government efficiency. You know, this is something that Trump talked about in the first go about his first term in 2016, but he didn't necessarily have the individuals around him to turn government waste, fraud, and abuse into anything actionable. And well, things are a little bit different this time. He's got individuals like Elon Musk who are all for this, who are pushing for this at a rampant level and have been incredibly efficient at getting things done in a what by the stretch of even private business would be called a very short amount of time. Things do not happen quickly within the federal government. We know this. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard your entire life following government. Things do not happen quickly. And because things don't happen quickly, change, when it does happen, takes forever. And in most cases, it just never happens because we're just on to the next shiny object, right? Just moving on to the next issue. That, of course, is a big issue because the federal government is out of control. Federal government spending has caused us to bury ourselves financially, where we are no longer spending money on things, or we're no longer spending the money that we're making. We're spending our children's 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 money on nonsensical, useless, wasteful programs today. We're not spending money that we're making right now. I put making in quotes because the federal government doesn't generate revenue. They steal it from the individual citizens. But that's what goes on at the federal level. This is nothing new. This is nothing that is unbelievable or unheard of. It's unfortunately been a very common theme. And so Elon Musk is in there with his Department of Government Efficiency group really hacking and slashing at the federal level. It's something that needs to be done. It's something that's not easy. You know, I was watching a podcast last night. I'm a pretty big weather fan, as we dealt with some nasty storms rolling through last night. And I was watching one of my weekly weather podcasts last night, and they were, of course, talking about some of the federal cuts as it relates to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Under NOAA, you have the National Weather Service, which has hundreds of offices across the state or across the country, and they are the ones that are responsible and in charge of forecasting weather from the federal government standpoint. When you get warnings or alerts on your phone that there's a tornado or a flood or a thunderstorm, that is coming from NOAA, the National Weather Service. And they were talking about these cuts, and you know, one of the panelists, and I don't know where these individuals all fall politically, but one of the individuals made the point that this is not going to be easy, but everybody is going to have to make sacrifices. And I think that's really kind of the attitude that needs to be taken going forward. What we're seeing with the Department of Government Efficiency, what we're seeing with the federal cutting is, yes, a lot of the waste, a lot of the abuse, that stuff is easy to cut. That you can find some stupid program that we're funding halfway across the globe on doing a study on some centipede that we're spending millions of dollars a year on. That's pretty easy to cut. You can hack and slash that pretty simply and be done with it. But that's not that all that it's going to take to get the $2 trillion deficit under control. It's going to take substantial cuts to government programs and services that are going to have an impact, that are going to have an effect. And while those effects are not all going to be great, while they're not all ideal, unfortunately, sacrifices have to be made. Right? You've heard and you're familiar, hopefully, with the term opportunity cost. And so what's going to go on right now in what you're going to likely see over the next, year and a half until July of next year, when Elon Musk says he is done with the Department of Government Efficiency, at least from him leading it at the top, is that you're going to have to weigh out what's good and what's not. You're going to have to figure out, and I say you're talking about us as Americans, us as citizens, what sacrifices we're willing to make, because we're going to have to. But this is the sad reality of the situation that we're in right now. Gone are the days of burying our head in the sand and just magically hoping, wishing, or praying that our spending problem is just going to magically be solved. Gone are the days of hoping that things are going to be different. We have a spending problem. We have a bloated government problem. And the only way to get that under control is to make significant reductions and significant cuts. And yes, it is going to have an impact, but everybody has to chip in. The same way, and I always talk about this, you've heard me say it 1,000 times if you've been a longtime listener. The same way that you and I, regular everyday people, have to make sacrifices, the federal government's going to have to do the same thing. If you have a major appliance that gets damaged and you have to go out and spend $800 on a stove, that's likely going to affect your monthly budget. That is likely going to cause you to have to pull back on something else that you were going to spend on. Maybe you were planning on going out to eat this weekend or go out for drinks or do something this week. Maybe you don't do that instead. You make a sacrifice. I wasn't expecting to have to spend $800 on a stove, but I have to. So now I'm going to readjust my budget, readjust my finances so that I can put myself in a situation where I'm not borrowing money. We do this every day. You make trade-offs, you make decisions every single day, whether it's driving to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks to get a morning coffee or making it at home for pennies on the dollar. You make those decisions each and every day. Every single American does it. So why is the federal government not capable of doing that? We have to make sacrifices. When the costs of goods and services skyrocket, as we saw under the previous administration, 9.5% inflation under Joe Biden's tenure, when those prices soared, when it cost more to fill up the grocery cart, what did you do? Well, maybe instead of buying the name brand, you bought the store brand product. Saved yourself a couple of bucks here and there. These are things that you don't necessarily want to do, but it's things that you have to do to, I don't know, live within your means, not pile up and rack up thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt. Folks, it's not that complicated. Americans do it. You would do it every single day. You decide what you're going to do. Maybe you're listening to me this morning, packing your lunch, going to work. Why are you doing that? So you don't spend $20 going out to eat. You're making a trade-off. And with that, there's going to be sacrifices. You don't get to go out to lunch. You're going to eat your brown bag lunch at work. You're going to eat those leftovers. Federal government needs to take the same approach. And while people are being affected, while agencies are going to be affected, that sucks. I get it. Nobody wants to have to make sacrifices. I'd love to be able to buy and spend money on everything that I wanted, but we don't have that luxury. The vast majority of us don't have that luxury. We have to pick and choose. We have to make smart decisions. And yes, we have to sacrifice. And unfortunately, that has to happen at the federal level. There's no other way around it. Because what we're doing right now, our frivolous spending, our deficit borrowing that we're running right now has led us to this position. $36 trillion in national debt. Debt per citizen over $107,000. That's per citizen. If you look at taxpayers, how about $323,000 worth of debt per person? That's where we are right now. And if that is not a massive problem for you, if this is not a huge situation and a huge issue, then I guess you're just not worried about the future. Not even your future, but the future for your children, grandchildren, and the future of our country. Because the reality is very, very simple. Whether you like to hear it or not, our spending is not sustainable. The amount of money that we spend on just debt servicing is absurd. If we cut all spending, just the debt servicing itself is not sustainable on $36 trillion in national debt. Major sacrifices have to be made. We don't want to make them, but unfortunately, decisions of the past, actions have consequences, have caught up to where we are right now. 60 years of out-of-control government spending has led us to where we are right now. So with all of that aside, Elon Musk on Larry Kudlow yesterday afternoon, a phenomenal interview. I'm going to play a few minutes of it here and there because I think it was incredibly, incredibly powerful. Larry kind of opened it up with, you know, you're a very successful man. You've got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of irons in the oven here. Why the hell are you leading the Department of Government Efficiency? Why are you doing this? Take a listen.
See if I get this right. They're setting fire to various Tesla charging stations near Boston. Shots were fired at a Tesla dealership in Oregon. Various nonviolent
shots fired. Not a metaphor.
Shots fired. Yes. Downtown New York, marching against the Tesla showroom. Your stock is way down. You've been criticized left and right.
But look on the right side.
I mean, why are you doing this?
Always look on the bright side of life.
Yes. I'm an optimist.
Yeah. But besides that.
Yes.
I mean, how's your day?
What motivates you to do this?
Was the opera good?
It's tough sledding.
Yeah. It is tough sledding. But I think we're doing the right thing here. There's been a tremendous amount of waste and fraud in the government. When you're part of the government, you saw a lot of that. And there's been if you look at the Inspector General reports and the Government Accountability Office, there have been many audits that have pointed out that there's a tremendous amount of waste and fraud in the government. In fact, there was a report issued by the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, last year. So during the Biden administration, which estimated the federal government fraud to be $500 billion.
Mm. What? A GAO report? $500 billion worth of fraud? $500 billion? Did I hear him correctly? Let me just roll this back a second. How much did he say?
The federal government fraud to be $500 billion. So just to be clear, that's not a Trump administration thing. That's a Biden administration thing. So what we're trying to do is get that number down to a much smaller figure, save money for the American taxpayer, stop money being spent on things that are that I think very few taxpayers would agree make sense. You know, transgender animal surgeries, or like, why are we spending money? Why are American tax dollars being spent on this? The president's gone through a long list of absurd things. Why are the 20 million people who are definitely dead marked as alive in the Social Security database? Why were hundreds of millions of dollars of Small Business Administration loans were given out to people aged 11 and under, according to the, according to the Social Security? I mean, like, these must be some very enterprising 8-year-olds, you know?
And some pretty strong 150-year-olds.
Yes, exactly. As the president said, you know, we have an enormous number of people marked as alive who are 160. He didn't know the country was that healthy.
Yes.
You know.
So demystify this. How do you do it? Okay. How big is your team?
Yeah.
So, you know, just right off the bat there, I think what Elon Musk says is spot on. And it's why Trump had such a, I truly believe, one of the reasons that Trump had such a successful election victory back in November. When you look at the situation that we're in, the $36 trillion worth of federal spending, when you look at all, or the worth of federal debt, excuse me, not spending. When you look at all of that and you look at the pet projects, you look at the programs, you look at the NGOs and all of the money that is just immediately funneled out of the federal government into just nonsense. Turns out, and I think this was really kind of understated by the Democrats, they didn't necessarily pick up on it. Over the last 4 years, as I talked about earlier, over the last 4 years, Americans have had to make significant cuts to their way of life due to the rising costs that they saw under the Biden administration. That was very frustrating for them. Maybe the yearly family vacation didn't happen because of those rising costs. So the American people have had to make those sacrifices. And so in November of last year, they said, well, you know what? We've had to make those sacrifices. We've had to make those changes. It's time for the federal government to do the same thing. I think it's really as simple as that. People had to feel the pain. People felt the pinch at the grocery store. And they said, you know what? We're sick of dealing with this. We don't want prices to continue to skyrocket, and we want the federal government to come in line and deal with the same thing that we deal with, which is making sacrifices, making changes, and making cuts. And again, the things that we're talking about, the easy, the top line numbers, the things that are really easy to cut right off, is all this stupid BS that Trump went over in his joint address to Congress last week. The laundry list of just crap, like, you know, transgender Sesame Street in Mujahideen or some whatever nonsense. I mean, that's the kind of crap that the American people go, wait, hold on a second here. I'm having to buy store brand cereal because I can't afford the name brand. And you're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a Sesame Street production. Like, that's the absurdity of the federal government. And it's why when you look at, and again, it's preliminary polling, the Department of Government Efficiency, Trump's only been in office 50 days. But when you look at preliminary polling of DOGE and you look at the cuts that have been made or the cuts that have been talked about, they're very popular. People are saying, yeah, that sounds right to me. We're not dealing with all of our issues at home. We've got major issues that we're facing inside of our own borders. Why are we pissing away money on all of these pet projects throughout the world? But again, the easy stuff is the things that go first. Then it will transition into the harder things to cut as we go on. More from Kudlow and Musk now talking about how big is DOGE and what's going on there.
Where'd you recruit most of them from? And what is it that makes you choose, you know, the Treasury or Social Security or USAID? How does it work? Let the public know, please.
Right. Well, we just basically follow the money. You know, we look at the president's executive orders, and we also just follow the money. So we started looking closely at USAID because they were completely violating the president's executive orders to suspend foreign aid, you know, what's called foreign aid, but in our view is a lot of corruption. So what we saw there is just a tremendous amount of money being sent to non-governmental organizations. But actually, it's this, by the way, is, I think, one of the biggest sources of fraud in the world, is government-funded non-governmental organizations. Mm. This is a gigantic fraud loophole where the government can give money to an NGO, and then that there are no controls over that NGO. So they've given billions of dollars, in fact, we estimate tens of billions of dollars, to NGOs that are essentially scams.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to put a stop to that, you know. So
I don't want to interrupt, but Secretary of State Rubio has just come out. I think he tweeted today. He has accepted over 80% of your recommendations to shut down in USAID.
Right.
So your review and analysis was spot on.
You know, before we continue going with this, the NGO thing, you know, for individuals that have been longtime listeners of, you know, conservative radio and reading conservative media, you're not shocked by this. I mean, you are very well aware what NGOs are, non-governmental organizations, and what they do. Many of them are complete and total scams. I mean, look, at a relatively recent example, just one example. Look at what went on down at the border over the last couple of years. Who was paying to fly individuals all throughout the United States? Who was giving them cell phones and food vouchers and hotel rooms? It was all these NGOs. You had groups like Catholic Charities spending tens of millions of dollars to essentially welcome in people to the country illegally. And so while it wasn't direct federal dollars going to these individuals, it was just funneled through these NGOs. Musk is absolutely spot on. It is a complete and total sham. The American people are being fleeced by NGOs, non-governmental organizations. And I will make the same argument that I've made in regards to local nonprofits here in Wilmington, in New Hanover County. There is a time and place to fund NGOs and nonprofits, but not when you are $36 trillion in debt. Again, sacrifices have to be made. And we are at a position and at a time where we have to say, you know what, we'd like to fund some of these operations, because just like everything else, there's good NGOs. There's good nonprofits. They're not all fleecing the federal government. They're not all running scams like Stacey Abrams and her idea that they needed, what, $10 million to buy people new appliances. That was one of her great nonprofits that she was running, one of her great NGOs she was running down in Georgia. And so, great, yes, it would be nice for people to have new appliances and cut down on their electrical bills. That'd be great. But is it the time and is it the place to do that? Unfortunately not. And so that's one of the biggest scams of the federal government. It's not actual federal spending. And as Musk noted, we give them the money. We have no controls. We write them a blank check, and they're free to essentially do whatever the hell they want with no checks and balances and nothing. And so the question you have to ask yourself, is that what you want your money going towards? We're almost halfway through March. Everybody is getting ready to file their taxes. Some of you may already have done so. That process is unrolling as we speak. And with all of that, you can see how much money you made this year and how much of it immediately went to the federal government and how much more maybe you owe the federal government. And so the question is simple. Do you want your money going towards these pet projects and these programs? And I think for the vast majority of the American public, the answer is an outstanding no. We're done. No more. We're not doing it. We're not playing the game. Sorry. Time to get things back on track. Time to get things under control.
Yes. So I think when people criticize, say, what Doge is doing, we say, well, which part specifically? Because we put all of the actions of the Doge team on the Doge.gov website and on the Doge handle on X. So we post the receipts. So it's like, this action has been taken, this action has been taken. So when we get criticism, we say, like, of what? Which line do you disagree with? Mm. Like, which cost saving do you disagree with? And then people usually can't think of any.
No.
So
it's transparent line by line.
It's transparent line by line.
Which is quite remarkable.
Right. And so, and then with respect to the Treasury, for example, the two main recommendations we suggested, which have now been implemented, was that any payments going out of the Treasury, especially the Treasury's main payment computer, which is called PAM, things like payments account manager or something like that, but it's like almost $5 trillion a year, so about $1 billion an hour, that the payments be coded with the congressional appropriation and that there be an explanation for the payment. Hmm.
The fact that, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the fact that it took Elon Musk, who I would argue is a certified genius, the fact that it had to be him and the Department of Government Efficiency to do something as simple as, hey, when you're sending out trillions of dollars a year, $5 trillion, according to Musk, maybe we should code where this money is going to, what congressional appropriation it's affiliated with, and a description of the payment. So the question is simple. Why was that not happening beforehand? Why did it take Elon Musk, the Department of Government Efficiency, and Trump to make that stuff a reality? For anybody that manages their own finances, whether you use an app or like I use an Excel spreadsheet to keep track of bills and payments, you keep track of where things are going. You have a description. Any small business that uses QuickBooks, which is what, like $40 a year or something like that, you get a real cheap QuickBooks account. You do the same thing. You code your payments. You have your accounts listed on there. You say, this is how much we spent on whatever service, whatever product, and you put a description in there. That's how every business in America runs. Yet the federal government and the Treasury payment system was not, and I guess cannot do that. Completely beyond the pale of what the federal government is capable of doing. This is really simple stuff, folks. We're not talking about making drastic changes, coding payments in a payment system. What congressional appropriation is this associated with? Where's the money going and what's the description? That's a bridge too far for the federal government? Apparently so. It's what Musk just said. That's a recommendation he had to make. And so when you realize things are that screwed up at that level of the federal government, it trickles down. When there's not even basic descriptions of what the hell this money is and where it's going, you can only imagine what things look like when you actually open up the hood and start digging into these other agencies, these other departments, and seeing what's actually going on under the hood. That's just, I can't wrap my head around how nobody thought that was a good idea. Or how anybody within the Treasury Department justified not having that information available. Every small business across America does it. But the federal government, bridge too far, incapable.
Very basic stuff. Mm. And just doing that, we estimate we'll save $100 billion a year.
You're not really, let me see if I get this right, particularly with Social Security, you're not really changing policy.
No, we're yes.
You're auditing the fiscal mechanisms to make sure that, you know, from point A gets to point B, and that's where it's supposed to get to. In some cases, it doesn't get there, or in some cases, it may go over there. But that's it's not a policy exercise. You're not changing laws. You're just doing what any business would do in a profit and loss audit.
But now and before Elon answers this question, this is very important to note, and as you're running into and arguing with maybe your liberal coworkers or colleagues or family or friends, whatever, Elon Musk is not, Kudlow does a phenomenal job laying this out. Elon Musk is not changing law. He does not have the authority to do so. Elon Musk himself is not cutting spending. He does not have the authority to do that. He is making recommendations to departments, as you just saw with Marco Rubio, and accepting 80% of DOE's recommendations. He is making recommendations to government entities and agencies, and then they are enforcing them. So this idea that Elon Musk is just hanging around in Washington, D.C. and saying, yeah, I don't want to spend money on this thing anymore. I'm just going to stop it. That's not actually what's happening. It's not even close. He doesn't have the authority to do so, and it's not happening. He's making recommendations, and surprise, surprise, many of them are being followed through by Trump's cabinet. So let's hear Elon's response to that.
I think we're really what we're adding here is caring and competence. Uh-huh. And there's a massive amount of fraud of basically people submitting social security numbers for social security benefits, unemployment, Small Business Administration loans, and medical, where those are fake social security numbers. Or they've stolen somebody else's social security number. And we're trying to put a stop to all of that. And that's the number which is estimated to be on the order of 10% of federal expenditures, which is, you know, half a trillion dollars.
It's a huge number.
Yeah.
You're working with the agency heads. You're working with the cabinet secretaries.
Yes.
I saw Howard Lutnick was on TV yesterday saying you were partnering with them. Is that fair?
Yeah. What we do is in consultation with the cabinet secretaries and with their departments. So. We're really trying to be we'll refer to ourselves as tech support. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really helping the department get a handle on things. Because what actually happens here is you've got this sort of vast federal bureaucracy, and then you've got a very thin layer on top of the politically appointed officials, what tends to happen is that the bureaucracy, frankly, is in control. Mm. And they largely ignore the politically appointed people.
Why should the bureaucracy?
I'm sure you must have seen that.
I've lived with this twice. I worked for Reagan many years ago, and I worked for Trump in the first term.
Yeah.
It's like a permanent bureaucracy. I might add it's a permanently liberal bureaucracy.
Yes, very much so.
And it's not a bureaucracy that necessarily enforces or implements presidential policy.
They don't. In fact, they try their best to thwart presidential policy. So the president is the elected representative of the people. Mm-hmm. And if the president cannot get things implemented as a reflection of the will of the people, then what we have is not a democracy, we have a bureaucracy. We have rule of the bureau, not rule of the people. And that's what we're trying to defeat here is the bureaucracy and have rule of the people. The bureaucracy is overwhelmingly Democrat. So Washington, D.C. was 92.5%, I believe, voted for Kamala. So this is overwhelmingly a deep blue situation.
How do you pick your next targeted agency or department?
Before we get into that, we'll continue this a phenomenal sit-down interview between Larry Kudlow and Elon Musk yesterday, exclusively over on the Fox Business Network. We'll continue that coming up here in just a few minutes. I want to remind you that you can support The Nick Craig Show by checking out patreon.com/Nick Craig. If you believe that you are getting some value from the show, you can chip in $5, $10 a month and get exclusive access to things like the daily show notes, our monthly hangout, and more by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. We'll continue this going through just a couple more minutes of this interview between Larry Kudlow and Elon Musk. Plus, we've got some additional cuts taking place at EPA and a discussion of a continuing resolution. All those details coming up after this. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on a Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock Eastern, on YouTube, Rumble, and X, available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We're going through a very lengthy interview with Elon Musk yesterday. Larry Kudlow of the Fox Business Network sat down with Elon Musk. His final question here this morning before we move on is, you know, how do you determine what you're going after next? But there's so much, the government is massive. There's so much money flowing out. There's so many agencies. There's so many departments. There's so much bureaucracy. How do you hone in on where you set your next targets? That was the question from Larry Kudlow. Here's Elon's answer.
We're trying to act broadly across all departments, so it's not just one department at a time.
Are you in all of them now? All of them?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes. Oh.
We're trying to make the government more efficient across the board. So yeah.
How big's your team?
We're a little over 100 at this point.
100.
Get to 200.
You're going to get to 200.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're recruiting from where? More or less.
Basically, it's software people, information security software people, and finance. You know, it's basically, yeah, finance and technology. I mean, frankly, I can't believe I'm here doing this. It's kind of bizarre. But I kind of think that we've got this enormous federal budget deficit, and it's a $2 trillion deficit. It keeps growing. Our interest payments are higher than our Defense Department budget. That's I think, was the real wake-up call for me, mm-hmm. was looking at seeing that the interest payments, the national debt, exceeded the Defense Department budget. And that was only growing over time, which meant if we didn't do something about this, then there won't be any money for anything. We'll just be servicing debt.
And you know how to read an income statement.
And and that really kind of sums it all up right there. I mean, that's when you cut through everything else. I mean, that's really the summary. We have a spending problem. We spend too much money on servicing debt because we're $36 trillion in debt. It's really as simple as that. And I love his response to, you know, who is in this department. While the left, the mainstream media, and progressive radicals will try and claim that Elon Musk is making all of these policy decisions, and it's just a bunch of data people. They're simply following the money. Literally. These people are not political science wonks. They're not policy advisors. They're not political scholars. They're a bunch of software bros that are going into data systems within the federal government, stringing together money, where things are going, where money's flowing in, where money's flowing out, and they're just simply pointing that out to these department heads. Hey, you have a bunch of crap spending that is taking place within your departments. Here's the recommendation. You decide what you do. And speaking of those recommendations, speaking of letting it and leaving it up to the agency heads to decide what to do, here's a press release yesterday from the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, the headline. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin cancels 400-plus grants in fourth round of cuts with DOGE, saving Americans more than $1.7 billion. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin, with the assistance of the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, identified and canceled more than 400 additional grants across 9 unnecessary programs, totaling $1.7 billion in savings for the American people. This marks the fourth rounds of EPA/DOGE partnered cancellations as the administrator oversees a line-by-line review of spending, bringing the total taxpayer dollars saved to more than $2 billion since being sworn in. How could you be against that? Who are you if you don't think that's a good thing? And this press release from EPA backs up exactly what Musk was talking about. We're not making policy. The people are just the software bros, the coding guys that are within the Department of Government Efficiency are just piecing money together. They're just stringing dollar figures together. They're traversing through federal government computer systems and figuring out where money is being spent because the government doesn't have a line-by-line review of spending. The federal government does not do line-item budgeting. They just don't. They just willy-nilly allocate money gets allocated from Congress, and they just spit it all out there. And then these agencies, with all of the bureaucracy, all of the red tape, the money just gets spent. Some with accountability, some without, some with tracking, some without. And so Elon is providing this information to these agency heads like Lee Zeldin over at EPA and saying, hey, Lee, here's some money within your department. You decide what to do. You're the EPA administrator. I'm not. I don't have the authority, but you do. And the result is over $2 billion in savings thus far out of EPA. And it just goes on and on and on. And I mean, here's the DOGE website, doge.gov. You can see everything that's going on. This was posted at 12:12 this morning by DOGE, talking about pilot programs to audit unused and unneeded credit cards, talking about how they've deactivated 200,000 credit cards within the federal government. It's insane. And the fact that people are so against this is very, very telling. Right, sometimes you read between the lines on things. Well, reading between the lines on the individuals that are against the Department of Government Efficiency are against, and it's not even Elon Musk. Let's just talk about the Department of Government Efficiency. It's right in the name what it does, making government more efficient. The individuals that are against DOGE are the individuals that are getting rich. Plain and simple. The individuals that do not support what's going on right now, them, their family, and their friends are getting rich off the federal government, whether that's through NGOs or just straight up running and perpetrating scams and fraud on the federal government. And yes, having a job with the federal government and not working, using some mouse clicker to simulate that you're at your computer all day while you work from home, that is fraud. You are perpetrating fraud on the federal government and the American people. You're not necessarily stealing money from them, but you're perpetrating fraud. You're being paid to do a job and you're not doing anything. That's fraud. That's waste. That's fraud. That's abuse. And that's why people are so against this, or what I should say, that's why the left is so against this. The federal government has been the bankroller of all of their pet projects for decades now. DOGE is coming in. DOGE is connecting A and B. They're tracing the money as it works its way through the federal government, and they're calling it out. They're saying, no more. They're saying, here's the data, here's the information. These are some things that are jumping out in our algorithms that you need to take a look at. And agency heads like EPA, like Lee Zeldin, are saying, thanks. Yeah, we're going to cut these. What was it? What did he say in the press release? 400 additional grants across 9 unnecessary programs. There you go. You talk about efficiency. We've got 9 programs that we're funding, totaling $1.7 billion that we don't need to do. It's unnecessary. It's waste. Why are you against that? What are you doing behind the scenes that is a bridge too far for you? What's happening with you, your family, your friends, that you're against cutting unnecessary programs within the federal government? I'm sure most of those individuals that are so anti-Elon, so anti-Doge, I'm sure they don't want waste and fraud and abuse perpetrated on their personal finances. I'm sure they wouldn't like individuals taking money out of their checking account or savings account every month. But yet they're okay as long as that happens at the federal level. Because it's not their money. It's my money. It's your money. And they don't really care what happens to it. They're not worried about any sort of accountability. They're completely okay with the grift that continues to be perpetrated on the American people. The charade is over. The act is over. And now you're starting to see major change. And with that, again, yes, easy to cut some of the nonsense right off the top, right? $1.7 billion in unnecessary programs. Give it about 6 more months, maybe even less. And then we're really going to start getting into brass tacks. Then things are going to start getting a little bit more choppy. Because then it's going to be talking about efficiency within the federal government. Do we need all of these departments? Do we need all of these agencies? Do we need all of this redundancy? And the answer is probably going to be no. And that is going to be the next issue that the Democrats will start winding up their supporters and people can be crying on the streets. I saw a great video. Unfortunately, I didn't bookmark it on X yesterday. Some federal employee screaming about something. Let me see if I can pull it up. See if I can pull it up real quick and see if I can easily find it. But there was some lady yesterday. Ah, yes, here it is. Screaming libs of TikTok to the rescue again. This was taking place in, I believe this was, this is at the U.S. Capitol yesterday. A federal employee wearing a Ukraine pin and wearing a mask in public screaming about Doge and Elon Musk. Just take a listen to this.
When you wake up or when you're on your weekend and you get the fork in the road message or you get the subsequent 5 bullets, hey, what the hell did you do, you lazy federal worker, this week? How frightening is it that someone on X, the owner of X, speaks to you directly to say, what did you do last week at work? And if you don't answer, I am going to fire you. But even more egregious, the president comes out, the most powerful person in the land, and endorses that message. How do you think that makes federal workers feel?
I don't care how it makes you feel. I mean, I know maybe this is probably hard for this deranged lunatic, which, by the way, this happened yesterday. So while I was at work, while you were at work, while this federal employee should have been at work, she was standing outside with a mask on, you know, because probably she'll be afraid she's going to die of COVID or something, some stupid BS like that. While everybody else was at work, she was screaming in front of the U.S. Capitol about how frightening it was to receive an email. Nobody's calling you guys lazy. You're saying that yourself. When my boss asks me, what have you accomplished this week? Or in many cases, can see what I've accomplished this week. I don't think, oh, they assume I'm lazy. No, they're just trying to figure out what you're doing and what resources they're expending and what kind of ROI they're getting on your paycheck. Right? Because unlike how federal employees see the world, when a private business hires you or you work for a private business, they're expecting an ROI. They pay you a salary. They pay you in benefits. They match your 401k. They do some of those things, and in return, they need to get some value out of you as an employee. Right? Because unlike the federal government, private business doesn't have a magic wand where they can just generate more money. They have to provide some sort of product or service to generate money. They can't just raise taxes like the federal government or state or local governments do when they need more money. So yes, a private business needs to get an ROI on you as an employee. If they don't, it's not sustainable. So I don't know why it's so frightening or such a ridiculous request to ask what you're doing. How do you think it makes us feel? I don't care. I really don't care how it makes you feel. The federal government is your employer. We're in charge of the federal government now. We are setting the standard and we're deciding what happens. Not you guys. We are. Not you. We decide. Not you. And if you don't like it, go work in the private sector. I'm sure this lady's very much employable. She sounds like she is a doll to work with. I'm sure she's a phenomenal coworker. Not completely insane. Doesn't sound like a complete and total lunatic at all. I'm sure that's not the case. Frightening. Have to respond to an email.
When you wake up or when you're on your weekend and you get the fork in the road message, or you get the subsequent 5 bullets. Hey, what the hell did you do, you lazy federal worker, this week? How frightening is it?
Okay, thank you. It's very frightening. I'm freaking out right now. I'm so frightened by my employer asking me what to do. Obviously, these people are too stupid to realize that they're making the point of Doge. They're making the point of Elon Musk. They're just completely playing into the hands of the Republicans who are advocating for this, the conservatives that are advocating for this with this ridiculous nonsense. Standing out in public with a mask on, screaming about how, presumably while you're supposed to be at work, screaming about how frightening it is to say what you've accomplished this week is exactly the point. Obviously, this lady is too deranged. Looks like a huge Kamala Harris voter. Total Karen. Probably a huge fan of The View and MSNBC. She's making the point of everybody. So, bravo, unnamed masked federal employee. You are doing a phenomenal job making our point. Your service to our country is greatly appreciated. So, that's the latest in Doge. That's the latest in liberal lunatic nonsense for today. I was going to say the week, but there will be plenty more where that came from. We'll keep a close eye on it. Taking a look at some other news this morning as we continue to watch a government shutdown, which is slated for Friday. Well, the House GOP is working through a continuing resolution right now. House Republicans over the weekend unveiled a full year spending deal on Saturday. It's a 99-page continuing resolution, and it provides for $892.5 billion in defense spending and around $708 billion in non-defense spending, both of which sit below the caps in the fiscal year 2025 for this continuing resolution. The clean CR, which would allow the government to mostly freeze current spending levels, will extend funding through September the 30th of this year, which is the end of the 2025 fiscal year. House GOP leaders see the CR as a temporary fix to keep government operations open after bipartisan congressional appropriators were unable to come to an agreement on a top-line number for a bigger funding package, or the big, beautiful bill that you keep hearing Trump talk about. The bill also includes some requests from the White House, including one in involving an additional $9.9 billion in funding to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is as immigration crackdowns continue to happen. Also, a $6 billion increase in funding for veterans' health care as well. In the wake of hurricanes on the East Coast and wildfires in California, there's also been a bipartisan push to place a supplemental bill on the House floor to provide disaster assistance to states hit by those CRs. For a time, leadership weighed attaching disaster aid to the CR as a motivation to get Democrats on board, but that did not end up being the case, and that's going to have to be dealt with separately. House Democrat leadership accused Republicans of putting a, quote, partisan continuing resolution forward. Again, guys, you lost. Like, I know it's very hard for you to wrap your head around, but we're in charge now. So, yes, it is our partisan continuing resolution. It's the Republicans that control all the branches of all the sectors of government right now. Not the branches, but the sectors. House, Senate, and White House. Republicans control that exclusively. So yes, by definition, it is going to be a partisan resolution because we don't have to work with you. I know you want us to, because every time Republicans work with Democrats, Democrats get everything they want. Republicans get diddly squat. We get nothing. So that's what Democrats always advocate for. So every time you hear, oh yeah, we just got to come to the table, guys. We got to come together on this. Everybody's going to have to make some sacrifices and some compromises, but we'll get to the finish line. Now, we don't have to do that now. There's no reason for us to work with you guys. What you stand for as a political party, the Democrats, what you guys stand for is in complete and total abject to everything that we're in favor of. The things that you advocate for, the policies, the platforms, the things that you guys want to support, we don't like. So we don't need your blessing. We don't need to work with you. We don't need your good grace to work forward on a continuing resolution. We just don't have to. We don't care. Democrats claiming Republicans are walking away from the negotiating table. Yeah, because we don't have to be there. Good faith efforts were made, but we don't have to negotiate with you guys. We have the votes to do it ourselves. And with that, Trump is calling out Thomas Massie, who is at this point a useless member of Congress. He does nothing but stonewall everything. Trump put this out on Truth Social late last night. Thank you to the House Freedom Caucus for delivering a big blow to the radical left Democrats and their desire to raise taxes and shut down our country, talking about the continuing resolution. They hate America and all it stands for. That's why they allowed millions of criminals to invade our nation. Sometimes it takes great courage to do the right thing. Congressman Thomas Massie of beautiful Kentucky is an automatic no vote on just about everything, despite the fact that he has always voted for continuing resolutions in the past. He should be primaried, and I will lead the charge against him. He's just another grandstander who's too much trouble and not worth the fight. He reminds me of Liz Cheney before her historic record-breaking fail. The people of Kentucky won't stand for it. Just watch. Do I have any takers? Because Thomas Massie, of course, is not in favor of seemingly anything that the Trump administration is, voting against everything that comes out of the Republican-led House or the Republican-led Senate. So this continuing resolution, while it is not the perfect solution, while it is not the perfect process going forward, it's what the Republicans, and including Trump, who this bill's got his blessing, it's moving forward in that regard. So the CR, the continuing resolution, which would essentially freeze federal spending as where it is right now, going forward through September, seemingly is where we're going to land. So, leadership staff is obviously looking at this, trying to coordinate with the Trump White House to figure out what exactly is going to go on, and we'll continue to track that. So some very interesting details coming out of Congress in regards to that. Should know some more today. There's a very strong possibility that a final vote takes place today. It did pass the Rules Committee yesterday, so we'll see if that full passage happens, and we'll keep you up to date with details right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, one of the sources that I use each and every morning, I got this article from the Washington Examiner this morning, was because I use Ground News. Ground News is a phenomenal website that can keep you up to date with news not only here across America, but across the world. One of their great features is known as Blind Spot. It shows you in which news stories or where some coverage lacks in regards to political agendas or biases. And you can subscribe to ground.news right now to get 40% off your subscription. Visit nickcraig.com/ground to sign up today. You'll get access to all of the ground.news services, including that blind spot feature. View news from thousands of sources worldwide and keep up to date with everything that is ongoing in our very, very busy news cycle. Visit nickcraig.com/ground to save 40% off your ground.news subscription. Expecting another busy day in Washington, D.C. throughout your Tuesday. Some more things moving in North Carolina as well, as the General Assembly is back in session in Raleigh. We'll keep an eye on all of it and bring you the latest details right here on the Nick Craig Show, where you can join us live 7 o'clock weekday mornings or 24/7 via podcast. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're back tomorrow. Go UNCW men's basketball. We'll chat with you tomorrow morning.